Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. This is the Radio Shepherd greeting you in the precious name of the Lord and welcoming you to our Thursday night Bible study. Let's open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. The Word of God reads in the following manner. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flocks and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are thy wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou dost not do well, sin lieth at the door. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from off the face of the earth, and from off the face of the earth shall I be hid. I shall be as a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went forth from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the opportunity that you afford us once again to look at the scriptures and consider what you are saying to us throughout. Study, Lord. Use it to expand our thinking and to give us further knowledge of the truth. And when all is said and done, Lord, we shall be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Our theme is, if you recall, as of last week, we have been talking about a biblical view of the primitive church. And of course, you can take the primitive church to mean the primitive church beginning in the book of Acts, or the primitive church beginning in the Old Testament. If it's the primitive church beginning in the Old Testament, then it is the book of Genesis where we would begin our study of the primitive church. And that's why we read out of Genesis chapter 4. Last Thursday, we had a wonderful, wonderful study, and we talked about several things that really gave us an idea of what the primitive church was, how it looked, and what were the components, and who were the leaders of the primitive church. Today, we want to advance the idea of the primitive church by looking at Genesis 4:1 and following, and we're just going to do as the Lord leads us today. For the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be talking about this biblical view of the primitive church. So next Thursday, we'll come back and do a part 3. The following Thursday, we'll come back and do a part 4. But it's interesting to note that all churches grow numerically when babies are born. So that's the first thing I want you to write about the primitive church. All churches, all local churches grow, people get married, and they have children. That's one of the ways in which churches ensure church growth. So, number one, primitive church, one of the characteristics of the primitive church is that its numerical growth is caused by the birthing of children. Its numerical growth happens when women give birth to babies. And this is why so many churches have a nursery ministry, a children's church ministry, because those babies grow, then they begin to walk, then they begin to talk, and there's a whole ministry to children. And it begins in the nursery. Why? Why do churches have a nursery? Because they know that women give birth to children. And so with every newborn baby, the church is growing in what? In its church roles. The numbers grow. And so here we have that Adam knew Eve, his wife. And the term knew is a common euphemism in the Bible for sexual relations. Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve. And what happened? And she conceived. Her womb received his seed. It caught the seed, nurtured the seed, and eventually it released the seed. And when it released the seed, it was no longer a seed. It was a man-child. And so it says, and Adam had relations with his wife Eve. She conceived, and then eventually, through the process of time, she bare a son whose name was Cain. And Cain probably means, we're not sure, but most scholars would dare say that the name Cain means spear. 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 And so she named her son Cain. And then she made a declaration. She made a declaration. And she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, this phrase, I have gotten a man from the Lord, sounds very, very positive. It seems like she is praising and blessing God for allowing her and blessing her with the ability to conceive. But then also this portion of Genesis chapter 4:1 was translated differently. And the way some scholars would translate it, it's not in a positive light. If you were to translate it, it would read something like this. Instead of saying, I have gotten a man from the Lord, it would say, like the Lord, I have produced a man. Like the Lord, I have produced a man. And I kind of favor the second translation. And there's reasons for that, and we'll develop that a little ahead. But so here we have in the King James, I have gotten a man from the Lord, which would sound like he's praising God, because the God is the source of her fecundity, of her ability to be fertile, and for her ability to conceive. So everything that she's gotten from God. That's what it seems it sounds like in the King James Version. But there's a great Hebrew scholar whose name is Umberto Casuto. Umberto Casuto. C-A-S-S-U-T-O. And in his commentary on Genesis, he tends to translate it the way I just said before. Like the Lord, I have produced a man. So instead of, you see, the King James makes it sound like she's praising God, because it is God who gave her a man. The way Dr. Casuto translates it is like she's making a boast. Oh, like the Lord, I was able to produce a man. And that seems to be more consistent, because if you know anything about the book of Genesis, it is a book that is constantly highlighting how people try to make it in life, how people try to become successful, how people try to do things apart from God. Remember the people who were trying to build the Tower of Babel? And they were trying to make a name for themselves. And they tried to do this without what? Without God's permission. And so that's when God came down and confounded the languages. And then we read about Sarah, how she hears through Abraham. She hears through Abraham that they're going to have a son. Now, she's old. Abraham's old. So now Sarah comes up with the idea and says, Abraham, I know how we can produce this son. We can produce him if you go unto my handmaiden Hagar. And we know how that turned out. And so there's a motif, if you will, there's a repeating story throughout the book of Genesis where those of us who have biblical prophecy are trying to help God fulfill it. In other words, if you recall in Genesis 3:15, what was the prophecy? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, God is speaking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy of the coming of Jesus. And, of course, Jesus is to be of the seed of the woman. He must proceed. That's why Jesus is the God-man. He must proceed from a woman. And so Eve, thinking that she was helping God, thinking, okay, well, God did the prophecy. God made the prophecy. Now, when I gave birth to this child, what she is saying is, I too, like the Lord, have produced a man. Who produced the first man out of the dust of the earth? Didn't God produce Adam out of the... Yes, so it seems as though she's saying, now, like God, I too have produced a man. And she called him Cain. She named him Spear. So not only does the church grow numerically with the birth of children, but then we can see how the church can move into error when it believes that it can help God in producing salvation. See, you no human being can help God in the salvation process. And here we find, as it seems to me, Eve is making this boast, and she shouldn't be making this boast. She should not be making this what? This boast. And if you recall, there's another motif, or there's another idea or concept that goes throughout the book of Genesis, that it is always the firstborn who carries the Lord's blessing. And so what does she do? She names Cain Spear. That's her firstborn. And then she names his brother Abel. She names him Vanity. Abel means vanity. So she looked highly upon Cain, but not too highly upon Abel. She said, this one is a spear, this one is just a puff of smoke. You see, so again, here's another, see, we're developing characteristics. What are some of the things that we see in the church today that we saw in the primitive church back in the Garden of Eden? Well, this whole notion that we can help God bring about salvation. No, we're not co-equal with God in producing salvation. God alone can produce salvation. God alone. You know, not too long ago, I played a clip of Perry Stone. And Perry Stone was teaching that our offerings, our giving for missions, is in the sight of God equal value to the blood of Jesus. Now, not only is that blasphemous, but it's also heretical teaching. And you find a little bit of that in Eve when she makes the confession, when she says, if you believe in the second translation, I too, like the Lord, can produce a man. See, I too. God made Adam, and I made Cain. Thus, that puts me on equal footing with God. And we know that's just silly, because no human being is on equal footing with God. No pastor is. No prophetess is. No one's on. God is, he's in a league all by himself. And then she took the liberty of naming the first one Cain or spear, and naming the second one vanity or vapor. So again, now when you go through the book of Genesis, you'll find that God always favors the second born. If you recall, Abraham was not Terah's firstborn. Abraham was not Terah's firstborn. Then if you recall, Isaac was not Abraham's firstborn. Ishmael was. If you recall, Jacob was not Isaac's firstborn, but Esau was. If you recall, Joseph was not Jacob's firstborn, but Reuben was. And so you constantly find this theme throughout Genesis, that we, the church, were always getting it wrong because we tend to think that the senior members are really the senior leadership. See, we tend to think, look at the early church. How many times did the early church in the book of Acts not get it? You see? God did more with Paul. Now, was Paul a member of that first group of apostles? Honestly, you know biblical history. You know the New Testament. Was Paul one of the original 12? No, he was not. But didn't he write more letters than the original 12? Didn't he cover more ground geographically? Didn't he establish more churches that we know of, documented? So don't always fall for the cultural status, if you will, the cultural belief that it's always those who come first or to lead. Wasn't David the eighth son of Jesse? Was he Jesse's firstborn or secondborn or thirdborn? No. So just like today, Eve said, "Oh, this is it. This Cain is it. Cain is the Messiah. Cain is the prophet. Cain is going to lead us to victory because God said that he would give me a seed and the seed would bruise the serpent. And this is not just a seed, but this is a seed. This is a child. This is a young man." She's prophesying now with a spear. And then she had a second son, and she said, "No, this one isn't really much. I'm going to call him Abel," which means vanity or just a vapor of smoke. "He's here now, and he will disappear in a few seconds." That's what was prophesied. So pretty much the primitive church in so many ways is just like the church today. We have got it wrong. We have got it wrong. In fact, much like today's church, the primitive church has wheat and tare growing in it at the same time. Abel was wheat, Cain was tare. We have sheep and goat in the church today. Cain was a goat, Abel was a sheep. You see, we have true believers and we have non-believers in the church. We do. And you'll see this. You'll see people that worship, but some are worshiping according to Scripture and others are worshiping according to their own thinking. And so over and over and over again, we see that the primitive church resembles in so many ways today's church. And so Eve's first words after the fall were this, in my opinion, and I agree with Casuto. "I, like the Lord, have produced" what? "Produced my own man." And boy, was she what? Disappointed. See? What was she? Disappointed. Because all that is produced in the flesh is what? Flesh. What was Abel? Abel, yes, he is the product of Adam and Eve, but also, Abel was a product of the Holy Spirit. In that, Abel was the true minister of the family. Cain was not. Cain worshipped, but not according to knowledge. Abel worshipped as God required. Thus far, up to that point, the amount of revelation and light that they had. And so we find that, like the primitive church, we get it also wrong. Because we're looking at things from a fleshly perspective. And we're making fleshly declarations. This declaration that Eve made was fleshly. I too have produced a man like the Lord. Well, that's flesh. That is flesh. And we see so many things done in the church today, so many things said from the pulpit, so many things that are stated in print that make you think, that people think, they're on the same level with God. I'll give you a perfect example where people think they're on the same level with God. These pulpit committees, when a new pastor needs to be selected, these people put God aside and they call a few people with some experience and some knowledge and some Bible under their belt, and then they formulate a pulpit committee. And then they go through resumes and they go through, they check out references, and then ultimately they hear the person preach a few times. And based on all of their findings, then they make a decision as to who's going to be the next pastor. Well, that's not how God does it. God alone decides who becomes the next pastor. God alone. And God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at what? The heart. And since none of us have the ability to see into anyone's heart, we shouldn't do any picking. Because ministry is always a heart matter. And as God said to Samuel, don't look as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. And since we do not have that capability, we shouldn't have any what? Pulpit committees. And this is why these churches that have the, they pick wrong. And then 2 or 3 years later, they find out that instead of having a shepherd like Abel, they really have a Cain as their pastor. Because they prophesied greatness, because this Cain, this figure that they put into the pulpit, is the product of their selection. And so this is a this little nugget of truth is just powerful. How many things do we do in the flesh and say, this is going to be part of the church? How many things? If we were to be honest, how many things have we done? How many declarations have we made and we haven't even prayed? And we call the wrong person this and we call the right person that. And when we give them their names and we give them their monikers and we give them their labels, they're mislabeled. The labels don't fit. We're calling the member the pastor and we're calling the pastor the member. We got it all wrong. Eve got it all wrong. And where was Adam in the process? Do you notice that Adam's not even in the process? Adam was just good for breeding. Where was Adam? Was he not the priest of his home? Don't you see that pretty much like today, this is the church where women are calling the shots and you don't hear Adam's voice. Adam, there's no participation on Adam's part other than the breeding, other than the fact that he contributed the seed. That's it. Do you hear Adam? Is Adam making declarations? Is Adam saying, no, absolutely nothing? And we find that in the church today. We find that women have taken the lead. They're doing most of the speaking, most of the prophesying, most of the declarations, and men have taken a back seat. And then we have Cain killing Abel. Sad. Now, I'm going to leave it there because I want you to ponder this and consider all that's been said, because I don't even want to get into the fact that Abel was a keeper of sheep. And if you notice, look, folks, we're going to develop this as we go along. But if you notice, look at verse 1. It says, and Adam knew his wife Eve. Now, who's named first? Who's named? Adam, right? Adam takes the lead. And then it says, and she conceived and she bare Cain. And then she said, I have gotten what? A man from the Lord, or like the Lord, I have produced a man. Now, Adam takes a lead in reproduction, but he doesn't take the lead in the declaring. See? And then in the second verse it says, it doesn't even mention Adam again. He's out of the picture. And she bare again his brother Abel. Now we know that she can't have Abel unless Adam is there, but notice how Adam is being kind of like he's being erased out of the picture. Have you noticed? Adam is used, and then once Adam is used, out of the picture. He's not the priest of his home. His wife has taken over. And he's basically an absentee priest. And we'll leave it there. Because perhaps, this is something that you ought to reflect. Perhaps this is going on in your home. And it's not that our sisters can't lead, but we should take the lead. That's scriptural. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. That's New Testament, folks. That didn't change. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. You reverse the order, and you have trouble. Remember God gave the revelation to Abraham that he and Sarah were to have a son? Remember? He didn't give the revelation to Sarah. He gave the revelation to whom? To Abraham. Did he not? Abraham prophesied it to his wife. Did he not? Yes, he informed her of what God had said. And what did she do? She took the prophecy and she hijacked the prophecy and said to Abraham, I know how we can bring it to pass. I know how we can bring it to pass. There's a worldly practice, and the worldly practice is that if you have a handmaid, you can let your husband go into your handmaid. She can conceive, she can bear a son, and then that son, because she's your handmaid, that son is legally yours. Now, did they go back and ask God? No. Because if they would have asked God, God said, no. I literally said, that you shall know your wife Sarah, and she shall conceive. Not that you shall know Hagar, and she shall conceive, and that's how Sarah, no, that's not what God said. So what did Sarah do? She distorted, she fudged the prophecy, see? And since it sounded good to Abraham, wow, I can have your handmaid? Amen to that. But we know the problems that has caused over the years. And we know what fleshly prophecies can do when you take a divine prophecy, and then you have human fingerprints all over that divine prophecy, and you work the prophecy over, and you rewrite the prophecy, and you edit and you add and you know what happens, right? And that's why we're in so much trouble today, because just like in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it's being played out in our churches today. The Abraham-Sarah situation is being played out in our churches today. God says something in his word. We try to help God fulfill it, and we do it from a human vantage point. We get involved. We let our thinking dominate instead of scripture. And before you know it, we've made a mess of God. And then we say, God, where are you? Well, I was always here. You just ignored me. You ignored me in that the same way you ignore me when you're selecting a pastor. You get your pulpit committee, you get a few people with doctorates, and you get a few people that have been in the church and are elders and deacons and have been part of this ministry for years, and you consult them, but you never consult me. And so this is what we have today, and not only in our churches, but then bring it down to home. Think about what's going on in your marriage. As a couple, are you like Adam and Eve? Are you guys walking with the Lord and have proper order in your home? Now, being a husband doesn't mean being a boss. It means being a leader. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. I don't boss my wife. I lead my wife. And she appreciates my leadership. It's not saying you're going to do it my way or the highway. It's you lead on how it's to be done. You convince them with scripture. This is what the Lord says. We have to follow this blueprint right here. We cannot deviate one iota away from the blueprint. If God said you and I were to have a child, don't involve your maid. Don't make it a threesome. Don't involve your maid. It's only a twosome. It's you and me. Don't involve anybody else. But we tend to rationalize rather than taking God at his word. And so like the primitive church of old, we have the same issues because history tends to repeat itself if we fail to know history. If we fail to know history, look, did anything change? Wasn't Eve leading in the garden? Didn't Eve lead within the garden? So location didn't change the dynamics of the relationship, because even when they're outside the garden, now they live outside the garden. Remember, God put an angel at the entrance with a flaming sword that not to let them in. But so notice, who's leading outside? Eve again. Eve again is leading. In serious matters, she's leading. So it has nothing to do with, well, if we move, if we lived in California and you were the boss there, maybe if we move to Arizona, maybe things will change. It's not the location. It's the dynamics within the relationship. You gotta look at the way the Lord set this thing up. And if your relationship with your spouse is not the way the Lord set it up, you're going to have some major problems because you're violating biblical protocol and structure. And so this is why we have the mess that we have. And we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there like a cliffhanger. Remember the old serials where you're watching the movie on a Saturday, you go in and you look at Rocket Man, and Rocket Man has been tied to the train tracks, and here comes the train, and the train is racing down the tracks, and then there you go. You got to wait till next week. So this is our little cliffhanger, and we'll come back next Thursday with this study about the primitive church and see if we can rectify some things, to see if we can go back, listen to the Bible study, listen to the lesson, ask the Lord to speak to us, ask the Lord to really minister to us, ask the Lord to really convict us if there's anything wrong, give us the intestinal fortitude to sit down and make some radical changes. And see if we can fix the church by starting out by fixing our home. So we'll leave it there, and we'll come back next week. Please tell others about Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. You know that this church was set up by the Lord to minister to hurting people, the unchurched, the underchurched. Tell others about this word that is going forth, the quality of the word, how this word is ever faithful. We program Monday through Friday and then Sunday. As you can see, we are faithful in our broadcast. We are faithful. When we say we're going to deliver a word of encouragement, we show up and deliver that word of encouragement. We are just as busy as everybody else, but you know what? We are what? Faithful. We are committed to our divine assignment that we have received from the Lord. And so please tell others about this radio ministry that we know, because the Lord told us in advance that this ministry was going to be ministering to tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. But we need you to help spread the word. And also don't forget that this radio ministry, Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, in addition to Daily Manna from Heaven, the Wolf Tracker Program, and the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies, is completely listener supported. So we do need, and we do pray, that God will encourage you to send a love offering. We do this purely out of love, and we pray that God will touch you to send a love offering. This way we don't have to discontinue these broadcasts. We have some bills, and so thank you in advance for putting something in the mail. You can mail it to us. The address is there on the slide presentation, or you can use PayPal. So, Father God, we thank you right now. We thank you for this word. We thank you for speaking to us, for revealing perhaps something that we didn't see before, something that we were unaware of. And Father, we just ask you right now, to use this word to rectify anything that may not be pleasing to you. Use your word to correct, instruct in righteousness. Bless this radio ministry. Bless our listenership. No matter what they're going through, let them understand that you will never leave them nor forsake them. Ever, ever, ever so faithful to your covenant children. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. As I close the broadcast, I want to leave you with the hymn, The Love of God. The Love of God. Until we come back tomorrow for the Friday Word of Encouragement, may the Lord keep you and bless you. Amen.